Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Concert pianist Peter Donohoe with the last movement of George Gershwin's Concerto in F with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Valentin Radu. Mr. Donohoe will be performing with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Maestro Valentin Radu in concert this Friday evening, January 16th at 8 o'clock at the Kimmel Center in Philadelphia. And we have a chance to speak with both of them today. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and
thank you, Jill.
It's going to be quite a wonderful concert. Valentin, tell us a little bit about what the idea was here. You called it Awesome Americans, so we have a few of those.
Yes, we have indeed. It is basically a Gershwin, which we have done very successfully for the past few years with Peter Donohoe as the guest pianist from England. And we are doing it again. And we have done a couple of these pieces. We have done it in the past with him. Actually, the famous Rhapsody in Blue is a perennial request of the major sponsor of the concert here in Philadelphia. And to be honest with you, I could listen to that piece not only once a year, but at least once a day or once a week. So it never gets old on me, and particularly that we always do it a little bit different than the last time. And then in addition to that, that's usually the closing finale of the concert. In addition to that, I'm going to do again with the Maestro Donohoe, the famous Concerto in F, which is quite an amazing piece that is not too often performed due to its amazing difficulty, both for the pianist and for the orchestra. It's an amazing work written by Gershwin in a very sort of jazz style, but also combined with the luscious slow movement with a trumpet solo duetting with the piano and ending with a flute solo duetting with the piano and so forth. And then in addition to that, the orchestra is going to play one of the most famous pieces by Gershwin, American in Paris, that he composed while he was there studying in Paris. And the funny thing is that about the same time in the early 20s, Aaron Copland was also in Paris studying with Nadia Boulanger and other famous teachers of the Paris Conservatoire. And so he wrote this interesting and fascinating piece called Piano Jazz Inspired Piano Concerto, 1926. He performed it with Serge Koussevitzky in January of 1927 in Boston with the Boston Symphony, himself at the piano. And then a week later, he did the same thing with Koussevitzky in New York at Carnegie Hall. And at that time, it was kind of mixed reviews from both the public and the critics. Some were extremely delighted, some were outraged, and so, as usually happens with any new things. So, anyway, we'll come back to the Copland. And by the way, speaking of the Copland, this was a suggestion by Maestro Donahoe last year to do it, and I've never done it, and nobody has ever done it in Philadelphia. This is going to be a very interesting premiere for this piece in Philadelphia. And then just to mention that the third awesome American is John Williams, whose works are famous all over, particularly for music for movies, for
and
Hollywood.
And needs no introduction whatsoever, he's a genius, a graduate of the Juilliard, brilliant composer, and they're doing the Harry Potter suite, and some excerpts from that, the Raiders March, The Empire Strikes Back medley, and that's kind of interesting as well, a totally different style. I just wanted to ask you, Peter, about jazz in the UK. What is the reception, say, to something like this? How do people accept it? It's classical, really, already. But
Yes, that's a very, very interesting question. First of all, yes, jazz is a very separate entity in the UK. I don't know whether it is in the US, but quite as much. Almost nobody who is a jazz musician plays at least professionally classical music and vice versa. But when it does happen, one style or the other tends to dominate. And it's very hard to get the balance right. And I suspect the same thing happened with the composers.
Mm. Yes.
Gershwin was never quite sure just how to go with his desire to be a serious classical composer. And when you play Gershwin, it's quite difficult to get to find the right balance between the two styles.
I think he was a little self-conscious, too, because, I mean, he was exploring his own ideas. And jazz at that time, of course, was unique, and he was a classical composer as well. So I would imagine that he felt daunted by it, you know, and saying, am I doing the right thing? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that all great artists have that sort of self-doubt. And Copland, of course, was essentially a classical composer, in the sense that he's writing not necessarily classical music in the traditional sense, but that he was to be taken as a high art composer, as opposed to a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
But the jazz world, not just in the USA, by the way, but the jazz world did inspire a lot of composers around Europe as well at that time, and you hear influences of it, shall we say, but they remain seriously classical pieces. Whereas Stravinsky and Ravel, particularly Ravel, actually, took on board certain aspects of the style and adapted it to their classical formats. Gershwin kind of did the other thing, the other way around, came at it from the other end. Where Copland sits is very interesting because it seems to me that throughout his output, there are massive contrasts. There are pieces that are unbelievably revolutionary and rhythmically and harmonically dissonant, and then there are some very soft and very not soft in the dynamic sense, mm-hmm. but softer in character pieces that are very immediate to anyone with beautiful tunes and so on. Most notably, Appalachian Spring, which is perhaps his most famous piece. The piano concerto lies somewhere between the two, and I hear that it's the first time it's ever been done in Pennsylvania.
Yes, I believe that's one of the big things about this as well. The Copland, of course, again, very what we call an American sound. He kind of invented it, this kind of wide open sound that you associate with America, and so I again, you as a Brit. You're coming into another world, kind of, and adopting, you're becoming an American here on this wonderful evening. And
actually, we British pianists tend to do that all the time. because actually, the British piano repertoire is quite large, but it's very rarely played.
Well, you've played some,
particularly outside Britain.
And you've done some marvelous recordings of piano concertos by British composers. I just want to ask you another thing. I understand you're going to be playing on a very large piano, a Bösendorfer, with 97 keys. Does that get in the way? I mean, you know, you're used to 88. So.
Well, it's psychologically quite difficult because you keep seeing these extra keys on the piano. But actually, I've never been completely sure what we're supposed to do with them unless we are composers ourselves. Because if they're not in the piece that we're playing, then they don't get used.
I wonder why they did it all together.
Well, perhaps the idea was to inspire composers to use notes that were not on the traditional piano. And that definitely happened. But, of course, by definition, those composers are very modern. And so the number of performances is not yet likely to be the same as has been achieved in traditional repertoire. Sometimes there's an implication of a low note that we didn't have on the previous generation of pianos that's implied in the music, and you can therefore play it because of the implication on the basis that the composer would have liked it had he had it available.
Here now, George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, which will also be on the program in the concert on Friday, January 16th at the Kimmel Center. It's performed by our guest today, pianist Peter Donahoe, with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Valentin Radu. Music of George Gershwin. We heard his wonderful and so very popular Rhapsody in Blue, performed here by pianist Peter Donahoe with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Valentin Radu. Just a quickie on your background. You studied with Olivier Messiaen. What an experience that must have been for you many, many years ago.
Yeah, it was completely life-changing. I was officially studying with his wife, Yvonne Loriot.
Yes.
Who was a great pianist and the chief exponent of Messiaen's piano music of the time, of course. But unofficially, I ended up with both of them. And Olivier Messiaen was possibly the most generous, most unassuming, but great man I think I've ever met. You would never know to meet him that he was anything particularly special. He just seemed like a nice guy. But when he wrote his music, he was, mm-hmm. He undoubtedly was the most influential composer of the second half of the 20th century.
Yes.
Had the most fantastic array of wonderful pupils of all kinds of different hues and voices and everything. And beyond music, way beyond music, he was a great man. And I learned a lot from him as a person.
And, of course, you were a winner of the Tchaikovsky in 1982, a long time ago, but still you were one of the winners. And
yeah,
very
it does feel like a long time ago.
It is a long time ago, and you're in, of course, the company of so many. Well, how are things going for winners of piano competitions these days? I know you sit as a jury member for the Foundation for British Music. I think that's what you're doing as well.
Well, actually, I'm doing a lot of jury service at the moment. I've been reinvited to the Tchaikovsky competition for this year, for June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I did it in 2011 as well. And Daniil Trifonov was the winner then. And actually, he wasn't the only one. It was a stunning success, I thought, in the piano competition. Such a great first prize winner, and actually second, third, and fourth as well. All wonderful. And I'm really looking forward to doing it again. I used to be rather cynical about competitions, to be honest, and a lot of people still are. But and having now experienced life on the other side, I can see how there, first of all, there is no alternative, and secondly, they are very positive influence on the music world, as long as we get good juries.
Yes, and you, and exactly what you just said. It's very, very important, and of course, it's highly competitive. So, yeah. I mean, it's you've got to have the people on the jury that know what's going on. I think pianistically as well, not you know, just not.
Yeah.
So, in any case, we are looking forward to hearing and seeing you once again, and you're visiting us here in the United States and doing all this wonderful music and. I hope that this will be an annual thing. What do you think?
Oh, yes. In fact, this year, Peter is coming twice. He's coming now next week, and then in May 15th, he's coming back, and he's doing not one, not two, but three piano concerti, and they all start with B. And as a matter of fact, the title of the concert is called The Three Bs. It's Bach, D minor, Brahms first, and Beethoven, Emperor. And people here, when they heard that, they thought either both of us must be insane to do such a thing on a single performance. And
well, I love that kind of thing. I'm a great believer in that sort of thing, because apart from anything else, there's no way that I'll not be warmed up for the beginning of the Beethoven.
Yes.
But I mean, it sounded like a frivolous remark.
I remember
really,
when
at all.
2 years ago, Peter, when we did the actually we recorded the Gershwin and Ellington, and we did the whole day recording session, and then you took a little break for a snack, and then you came back to perform the whole evening, the Concerto in F and the Rhapsody in Blue and the variations.
Also, did you?
Yes, of course.
When you said that the Gershwin Concerto, and actually the rest of the program as well, so the Gershwin Concerto is very difficult for the orchestra and the pianist. It's also very difficult for the conductor.
Thank you. Yes,
the whole thing is a very virtuoso concert for everyone.
Tell me just in very few words your own personal opinion for myself and for the listeners. Of the Copland Piano Concerto, because as I said, it was met with mixed reviews back in 1927, both very very strong, both positive and negative. And it's, of course, a very interesting, provocative piece, lots of rhythmical things, changing the meter all the time, and the rubatos and stuff like that and so forth. So tell me in just a few words, what attracts you, what makes it interesting for you?
Well, in the USA, do you have a product called Marmite, by any chance, which is something you put on toast?
And it's yes. No, we don't have it here, but they have it in Britain, I know.
Yeah, we do. And it's always said that you either absolutely love it and can't get enough of it, or you loathe it beyond all description.
Right,
and
right.
I suspect that that's what happened with the Copland, with the two reviews you mentioned. It is a very definite statement, that's for sure. And at the time it was written, which I think was 26.
Yes, 1926,
The opening beginning with the horns and the trumpets is sort of like a call to arms, like all of a sudden, hello, boom, you know.
It is, absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. And then a few bars
later.
At the same time as the
Bartok Piano Sonata, for example, which means that it was not so long after Bartok wrote his first concerto, one of the most extreme dissonant works in the piano concerto repertoire.
Yes.
And it's very much of its era. Yeah, but at the same time, it is actually very moving.
Yes.
Particularly that slow, beautiful romantic tune that's in the first movement that comes back near the end. But his use of jazz canon, as in, we are playing one melody in one department of the orchestra, and then other people play it immediately, one or two beats later, and it goes on at the same time.
Yes.
And things like that. Utilizing all manner of quite extreme compositional techniques, it makes it a little bit arresting, to say the least, when you first hear it. But it's not very long, is it?
No.
It'll take a lot of rehearsal because it's very, very difficult.
Yes.
It's one of the hardest pieces I've come across from the 20th century, in all honesty.
Have you ever performed it before?
No.
Wow.
No. Nobody on the stage has ever done it before.
Mm.
And large numbers of people in the audience will have never heard it before. So
yes.
It's really going to be a fantastic experience.
This is going to be quite a premiere for both, for you, for me, for the Philadelphia. So, yes. So I'm very, very looking forward to this whole concert, and you coming back, and very, very, very happy about it.
Well, Peter, you better be careful, because I think you're going to become an annual occurrence here on the music scene. I hope so, and I hope that you'll play once again, and perhaps explore some other fine piano concertos.
Can I say something else?
Of course.
Do you mind if I just just put something else that which Valentin might not be. I hope I don't embarrass him. But when we have the previous visits of mine to Philadelphia,
yes.
We usually end up in some kind of at least one. Some kind of social situation, a party or a visit to a fine house with lots of people, whatever, where there's a piano. And Valentin very often plays the piano after everyone's been drinking wine for quite long periods and all the rest of it. And there's one part in the Copland Piano Concerto where the piano plays alone, which sounds extraordinarily like him playing. It's like his kind of improvisatory style.
Yes.
It's almost as if it could be him doing it. In fact, maybe it will be to him in the concert if we can arrange stage manage it properly.
And a lot of liquor, I think. To
yes.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that will be arranged. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you're such a bad boy, Peter. You are so wonderful.
I know, I'm terrible.
Well, it's a delight just speaking with both of you together, and you will be together very, very soon.
Yeah,
the concert is on Friday, January 16th at 8 o'clock at the Kimmel Center here in Philadelphia. You are one of the awesome Americans that will be honored along with Copland and John Williams, of course, Gershwin. So until then, à tout à l'heure.
Merci beaucoup.
Okay, au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Thank you very much, Jill.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Here now, George Gershwin's second Rhapsody for piano and orchestra, performed by our guest today, pianist Peter Donahoe, along with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Valentin Radu. We just heard George Gershwin's second Rhapsody performed by our guest today, pianist Peter Donahoe, with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Valentin Radu. Mr. Donahoe will be performing with the Amadeus Ensemble conducted by Maestro Valentin Radu in concert this Friday evening, January 16th at 8 o'clock at the Kimmel Center in Philadelphia. Until next time, I'm Jill Pasternak.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.